Let's go to John chapter 1 this morning. John chapter 1, verse 14. The scriptures that we'll look at this morning is nothing new. These are scriptures that we all know. We'll be reminded of some things today. Nothing like Christmas in Southeast Louisiana, is there? We have the air conditioning on. Amen. It is hot outside, isn't it? It's been cooler in July before, hasn't it? But, amen. Could you go back there and turn that vent off in that bathroom? Thank you. We'll look at this morning, the Word was made flesh. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord, would You help us this morning to understand Your Word. And Lord, You give us grace to proclaim it for Your honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen. We know there's much today through the History Channel, through National Geographic, that is anti-Christian, anti-Christ. False religions today, of course, they are anti-Christ also. And the things that they teach, if we're not careful, you and I, if we watch those things, it can go in our minds and really mess up our thinking. If we're not grounded upon the Word of God, if we don't know Scripture, it's mind-boggling to think about the people out there who have some throwed-off beliefs. I shared with y'all a few weeks ago about the guy that I talked to who talked about the new religion they formed. They said that Jesus used the cannabis oil and used to smoke the weed. Also, and I'm just saying, you know, we laugh at that, but how sad is that? And there's some crazy stuff out there. There are so many lies about the coming of Christ. We know the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, that one of the first things that they want to say is that Christmas is not in the Bible. And I understand what they're saying. December 25th, the day that we observe Christ being born, of course, that day is not in the Bible. Christ Mass. This comes back from pagan roots. It does. But the fact that God came into this world is biblical. And we worship the Lord. Let me say this morning also. We don't worship a day. The Jews got to the point where they would worship Sunday. And everything was built around Sunday, the Sabbath day. And they got to where they would use that to bind the people. You come on this day, the Sabbath day, you give. All these rules and regulations. And it was putting the people under bondage, a yoke that they could not carry. I'm thankful that the Lord gave us the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that God, the Word, was made flesh. One of the most intriguing teachings of Scripture is the teachings of the Incarnation, where the Word was made flesh, where God became a man. Now, why did God do this? And what was the result? Why was He who was all glorious robed in flesh? Lord willing, we'll try to answer some of these questions this morning. Obviously, we can't dive into this because this will be a very, very long study. But as we celebrate today, Christmas Day, December 25th, 2016, our thoughts should be upon our Savior coming into this world. Again, we do not know the exact day. There's a lot of debate on that. Some people say it was early spring, late spring. Some people say it wasn't even close to December. I have no idea the exact day. The Bible doesn't give us the exact day. But the Bible does tell us that when the fullness of the time was come, that God sent forth His Son. Amen. So God does know the day. Christmas Day is deeply rooted in paganism. And looking around, it is apparent that people are now worshiping a day instead of worshiping Christ. What happens when we begin to worship a day, we begin to look at things on how it can benefit us. If you think about it, everything all year long is really geared towards Christmas. If you look at the retail stores, you have the after Christmas sale. By the way, y'all know that tomorrow is December 26th, right? That's Boxing Day. Boxing Day. I can't help but laugh about that. Because the first thing I thought about was when everyone's trying to return their gifts to the store that they got that they didn't like for Christmas. Whether it be a tie or anything else, and there are boxes. But anyway, or boxing. But you have, what is it, Black Friday now? The day after Thanksgiving? What's that geared to? So it all comes back down to a date. It's no longer Merry Christmas, or you get in trouble by saying that, right? In some places, obviously. But it's Happy Holidays now. Why? Because it's not focused upon Christ. It's not focused on who He is, what He did, and what He's going to do. It is now man-centered. We use terms like Christmas cheer or Christmas spirit. It is the season of giving. And those who do think biblically think about the wise men that came and gave gifts unto Jesus Christ. Tremendous study there. These gifts were very valuable, and they no doubt helped while Jesus, Mary, and Joseph escaped from Herod into Egypt until Herod died. Why do these wise men, why do they come seeking Jesus? Well, they came to worship Him. They came to worship Christ. They came giving to Christ. And first they gave themselves. We give gifts to each other during this time of year. And of course, any other time that we can. And I'd have to say that we all look forward to getting gifts, don't we? And giving gifts. I know I do. Brand new watch. Amen. I've been waiting for one day, for one Christmas or even a birthday or whatever, that my wife says, "Honey, you didn't know this, but for the last 20 years, I've been putting money aside to a special account, and you can now retire." That would be a great gift, wouldn't it? But that's not going to happen. And all the gifts that we give and all the gifts that we get, nothing compares. We know this. Nothing compares to the gift that our Heavenly Father gave us, as Brother West prayed a while ago. Right. His Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." So why did God do this? Why did the Word become flesh? Well, we know the coming of the Messiah was prophesied about in the Old Testament, right? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? See, they were taught the Messiah would come. You know, there were even people that wore special clothes thinking that the Messiah would be born into those clothes. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Do you know what they were looking for? A man. Born of the seed of man. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. How do we know that they were looking for this? Well, they've been looking for this since Adam and Eve. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, God told Adam and Eve and the serpent who was there that he would send one who would crush Satan's kingdom. Adam and Eve believed this. Matter of fact, they so believed it, they named their oldest son Cain, which means begotten of the Lord. What were they thinking? This is him. This is the one that God promised would come. And of course, Cain was not him. If you read your Bible, Cain was just the opposite. Cain was of that wicked one who slew his brother because his brother's deeds were righteous. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. So from Adam and Eve we have all of mankind under the curse and the power of sin. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What was it that man was needing? More than riches, more than health, man needed deliverance. Verse 18, Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. I must stress this here, that no man was involved. None. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. This is literally Savior. For he shall, watch what he's going to do, save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, very important we know that, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. God with us. This is truly an amazing thought. The Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. Man needed a Savior, but man, who is radically, totally depraved, could not of himself produce this Savior. Could not. We could take the best from all of us and here in this room this morning and put it into one person, the best, and still come up short. Man needed a Savior. A perfect, sinless Savior. Why? Because that's all that God would accept. Perfect, sinless. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 through 18 says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to so succor them that are tempted." Hebrews 4:14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Christ suffered. Christ was surrounded by sin. Christ was attacked by sin. But Christ never sinned. Again, this is truly an amazing thought, that God would become a man. I say God, the God of the Bible. I'm going to stress that, because the God of the Bible, listen folks, he's not some kind of cosmic killjoy, but neither is he a glorified Santa Claus. He is loving. He is merciful. He is faithful. And we could go on and on about how he is towards those who are his people. Towards those who have and who will believe. For the God of the Bible is also righteous. He is also holy. And just. Which means he must punish the sinner. Not just the sin, but the sinner. Psalms 5:4-5, and we know these scriptures. "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Psalms 7:11, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. We have a sin debt that we cannot pay in order to go to heaven. You and I cannot do this. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot earn our way to heaven. Our good works will never outweigh our bad. And even if they did, it doesn't matter, because we are born headed to a devil's hell. Matter of fact, it doesn't matter how much someone has of the Christmas spirit in giving. If you are not saved, you are headed for the torments of hell for eternity. But man has this mindset of work, work, work. I can do this, I cannot do this, or I cannot do that, and earn my way to heaven. But that's not so. That's not biblical. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace were you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus 3:4-7 says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. No one can earn their way to heaven. We know this, don't we? We hear these scriptures on a regular basis, all the ones we've looked at so far this morning. Nothing new. Nothing new. Here's the problem with that. We can sit here in these pews, hear these scriptures, and our minds begin to fade away. We begin to say, I know that. Preacher, I was wanting something different today. This is Christmas Day. I come here wanting something different. If you want something different from the different than the Word of God, you're at the wrong place. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Just being honest. But we can grow complacent in our service to the Lord, work for the Lord, even on this day, Christmas Day. We become complacent, consumed with all that's going on around us. Consumed. Listen, folks, I'm not saying don't enjoy the day. Enjoy it. Go shoot your new gun if you got one. Play your new game. Where's Dylan at? Did you get a game, Dylan? How many games you got? For Christmas, 3? I'll give it to you after church. I might borrow one from you. Ride around in your new vehicle. No new vehicles. I'll tell you something very funny this past week. And I'll get back to the message in a second. This past week, I was working over in Baton Rouge. And I was driving down towards Port Vincent. And apparently there were some kids at their grandparents' house. The grandparents had bought them some little Jeeps. Y'all seen those Barbie Jeeps? And so there was two girls in a Barbie Jeep, and there was one boy in a blue Jeep. And the two girls were on the side of the driveway whenever I went by. They were both smiling at each other. And there was a big mud hole right there. I'm thinking they fixing to hit that. So I went by and I blew the horn. Pop, pop. Couldn't help it. I just wanted to egg it on. Amen. I come back by and that Barbie Jeep was covered in mud. They've been mud hogging in that thing. They enjoyed their Christmas present, didn't they? Now, folks, I'm not saying that we should walk around with our lip pooched out saying, I can't enjoy Christmas. That's not what I'm getting at, okay? We should enjoy it. We should enjoy it. But our minds should never go away from the fact that God became flesh. See, we are never told to worship this day in the Bible. Never. We are never told to worship the day that Christ arose, are we? We're never told to worship a day. Who do we worship? Christ. And all that is in worshiping Christ. Amen. Let's keep going. God sent His only begotten Son into this world to die. We know that. Christ was born to what? To die. John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, For thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. Wherefore, when he cometh unto the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. You know, all those sacrifices that the Jews did in the Old Testament. The Bible says God had no pleasure in them. But in Isaiah 53, the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him, speaking of Christ. Pleased, pleasure there talks about satisfy. Satisfy in what? The wrath of God. a body that hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book is written to me to do thy will, O God. Christ came to die. Revelation 13:8 tells us that Christ was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Peter's preaching. He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the, watch this, the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of who? God. Ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Galatians 4:4-5, I mentioned this a while ago. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus Christ came to redeem a people for himself. So what was the result of Christ coming to the world? We just looked at the why, somewhat. I mean, there's no way we could get into all of it, of course. But what was the result of Christ coming into this world? What was the result of Christ coming, being born as a baby, taking upon him flesh, living a perfect, sinless life, dying on the cross and being raised the third day, ascending back to the Father and seated at his right hand? What was the result of all this? Well, Christ secured salvation for all who would believe. He didn't just make it possible. He secured it. Done deal. Amen? On the cross, he said, it is what? Finished. It is paid in full. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God? Remember back when we read Psalms 5:4-5 and Psalm 7:11, that God is angry with the wicked every day? What did mankind need? They needed someone to come who could appease the wrath of God, and man couldn't do it. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that our best before God is as filthy rags. Man could not in any way appease the wrath of God. So we were in a dilemma. Because there was no way humanly possible that we could acquire peace with God. You know, there's lots of good folk, that we say good folk, in this world. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. But there's no one in this world that could atone for our sins. No one. Here's where the gospel comes in. The good news from heaven. God in his providence provided his Son as the only way to have peace with him. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Verse 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Revelation 5:1, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Look at verse 3. And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept, what? Much. Because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. Why? Why was he worthy? For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people. A nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them that was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, it's unnumberable, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I say in blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. The four beasts said Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Verse 3 and verse 4 says, No man in heaven, no on earth, neither under the earth, no man was found worthy to open to read the book. Folks, Christ had to come to earth. He had to. I know there's lots of prophecies in the Old Testament dealing with the specific time, and we looked at that when we were in John chapter 12, that on the day he entered Jerusalem, the triumphant entry as it's known, it was the exact day and the exact hour that the Messiah had to enter Jerusalem. A day before or a day after, and Christ would not have been the Messiah. Very interesting, isn't it? He had to come, as we've already mentioned. Man could not pay this debt. Only Christ could. Aren't you thankful the Word was made flesh? Let's go back to John 1:14. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Word in this verse is the Greek word logos, and it's capitalized. It stands for the pre-existent nature of Christ that we see in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, which became flesh. Thus is the Messiah. Now, folks, God did not do this because of the fall of Adam. No. This was God's plan before He created Adam. And before He created the world. God's planning and God's timing is perfect. according to the word of God, which is all we can go by, because everything else is flawed. Amen. We know Christ came. We know he lived a perfect life. We know he died the appointed death on the cross. We know our sins were placed upon him while on that cross. Our sin debt was paid. He died. He gave up the ghost, the Bible says. Was buried, rose the third day. We know that with assurance, don't we? We also can have assurance from the Word of God that we are saved. Assurance. Not from mom and daddy, not from grandma and grandpa, not from the preacher, but from the Word of God. And we should be earnestly expecting Christ to return. And that what I'm fixing to say, we know. When Christ comes back next time, he's not coming back as a babe in a manger, is he? He's not coming back humble, poor. When Christ comes back next time, he's going to come back on that white stallion. Two-edged sword to conquer. Rule, to reign. He's not coming back to show mercy, extend grace. He's not coming back to save. This may sound bad, but he's come back to slaughter. Slaughter. And then after that, we see Revelation chapter 20, great white throne judgment. I'm so thankful that I can have assurance. I have assurance that I know that during that time, I'm one of his. Amen. Again, not by works or righteousness which I have done, but by his mercy, he saved me. Assurance from the Word of God. What do we need this Christmas season? We need the Lord. What do we need when it's not the Christmas season? We need the Lord. Be careful that we do not worship a day, but that we worship the one who gave himself for us. Amen. My wife often tells me that I'm somewhat of a Grinch. My dad picks them all the time because I'll just preach through whatever book we're in. He said, last year I didn't even have a Christmas sermon. I don't remember. I usually just preach, Brother Errol, so you ain't got to look it up, brother. I usually just preach with whichever book I'm in. My kids were picking on me last night saying this is going to be the sixth topical message this year. So that means the other messages would be 46 expository messages. What's our focus? Is it upon the festivities during this time? Is it upon the great singing? And we mess up singing, don't we? I laugh. I try to keep it in sometimes, but I'll just start laughing. Not at y'all laughing at me, really, because I can't sing. Amen. What should our focus be on today? Christ. The Christ of the Bible. I'm not trying to drag this out. I'm just giving some thoughts. Don't worship a day. Worship him who created all days, for he is worthy. Proclaim him proclaim Him. Amen. Christmas is not our day, is it? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us not to take for granted You coming into this world and paying our sin debt. Lord, I know we fail You every day. We get focused on ourselves. And this world promotes selfishness. This world system loves it when we take a day off from serving You. May we not do that. Lord, would You give us grace that we would enjoy the days that You give us, that we would rejoice in You, we'd worship You every day. Lord, that we would think upon Your birth, Your life, Your death, Your resurrection, Your ascension, and Your coming back. Lord, that we would think about these things every day. And that, Lord, would You give us a desire for distinctives. Lord, that we would study Your Word distinctively. We would rightly divide it. And Lord, in doing so, that our heart and our mind would have a right view of You. Lord, if we do, then we would glorify You. We would also proclaim, as the beasts and the elders in Revelation proclaim, Thou art worthy. Only You. Thank You, Lord, again, for leaving heaven. A place where You are worshipped, You are adored. You came to this sin market, this earth. You were rejected. You were despised of men. Thank You for Your plan, Lord. For no man could do what needed to be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.